Well, good morning. Welcome to worship with us here at Romeo United Methodist Church. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It's a pleasure to have our online viewers joining us. We're so glad we can join. Even if we're not together physically, we are together in spirit. We are worshiping together, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for everyone being here. I have a few announcements to share with you on our as we get started here this morning, so just bear with me for a moment. We have the brown bags. If you were here last week, you had some pushy kids handing you these on the way out the door. They did a great job getting them into people's hands because there's a whole bunch of them downstairs already. We're thankful for that. We have one more week, though. There's some right down front here. There's some more downstairs. If you didn't get one and you want to help out Samaritan House, they're doing their annual drive. This is our time we do it. It's got a list of needs that are on here of what they need. You can fill your bag up, and you'll see the table downstairs. You can bring it back. We need them back by next Sunday, please. But if you haven't gotten one, they are available down there. I was also told that coming up here on October 15th, they're going to have a craft day and fundraiser here at the church. It's going to run from 9 to 4, and it's going to be $20 for a table, and they'll be set up in the fellowship hall. You can bring whatever crafting projects you have to work on, whatever you want to spend some time with in fellowship. They'll be providing both breakfast and lunch during that time, and come and work on whatever you got, or just come for some fellowship, whatever you would choose. But that is October 15th. I didn't ask, Linda, how should they do? Sign-up sheet will be out there next week. Thank you. They'll have a sign-up sheet downstairs there for you if you want to sign up next week. Also coming up on October 8th, the Van Hooties have again graciously agreed and invited us out to the farm for a bonfire, hayride, weenie roast, s'mores, whatever else fun we can get into that night. But that's going to be Saturday, October 8th from 5 to 7 o'clock. And like I said, we'll be gathering for some food and fellowship and a ride out into the pumpkin patch. It's over at 32 Mile and Walcott Road. It's right on the corner there. If you don't know where you're going, come find me or call the office. We'll get you there. But Sandy's helping organize. If you have any other questions, there is a sign-up sheet downstairs just so we make sure we have enough hot dogs and all that good stuff to go around. Sandy, I'll need two s'mores for me just to make sure you have enough. Thank you. But that is going to be October 8th, so if you want to join us for that. And then my final announcement, Shelly this week. It's dangerous when she gets some of those conference communications because they give her ideas of things she thinks we should do and things we can do here at the church. And she noticed that coming up in October, there's traditionally for the United Methodist Church, we do a blessing of the animals service or a weekend. And she said, well, Pastor, why don't we do that? And I said, all right, Shelley, why don't we do that? So on October 9th, we're going to have a blessing of the animals service. We're going to do it out on the lawn. It's going to be at 1 o'clock. That's a Sunday afternoon. But we thought it gives everyone a chance to come to church, and then you can go home and grab those furry friends or feathered friends or reptilian friends, whatever you want to grab. But come on out. We'll have a service out on the lawn, and we'll offer a time to bless those animals, bless all of God's creation, and recognize our place in it. We'll have a good time with that the afternoon. So if you can join us, that's going to be October 9th at 1 p.m., and you can bring those animals from the little ones onto the big ones. I've seen horses and goats and all kinds of things riding into these things before, so plan on joining us on October 9th, if you'd like to. Or pictures. Thank you, Glenn. Bring those pictures along if you don't have one that wants to make the trip with you. That will be October 9th. And those are the announcements I had with me. I believe I was supposed to share. But now I get to invite us to do what we're here to do, to join our voices, to raise our voices, to worship our God. And so I'm going to invite you all to stand with me as you're able, and we'll sing our opening hymn. It's number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we gather to worship with joy and in hope. We come to worship the one who desires our hearts. We bring our whole selves in worship to you this day, Creator God. Let us set aside all that distracts us from that true worship. Come, Spirit, and gather us. Gather us in your vision. Gather us in your hope for this world, that we may be your hands and feet. Lord, we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is coming from the book of Amos. It's going to be Amos 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This ends our first reading for this morning. But now I get to say something I haven't said for a few months, and I'm excited to say it, and that's, welcome back, choir. It's good to have them here with us. And we're thankful for Cynthia for getting them organized and ready to go here, and they're going to be sharing with us, Seek Ye First.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, choir. And this time I get to invite all of our students and children and young people who'd like to come forward. I actually have a job for you this morning, so I need some help. Come on down and join me on the steps here. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Oh, come on. I'm going to try one more time. Good morning, boys and girls. How are we doing today?
Good.
There we go. We got a little more life in it. Well, the reason I'm trying to get a little more life in it is, in just a moment, we need to make some noise. Because you know what Sunday it is? It's right behind you, Spencer. What's on the shelf there? It's the noisy coin. We got the buckets out. We're going to take those buckets out into the congregation, and we're going to shake them, and we're going to make some noise. And I'm realizing as I sat down, I left my noise sitting up there, so give me 1 second. Because I got my bag of coins right here, too. And we do this each year, a few times a year, actually, and we take this money, and we use it for a couple of different programs. And the one thing we use it for is a program called Compassion Youth. We sponsor students. We've sponsored a number of students over the years. And we help them have scholarships and money to provide for food and things they need so they can go to school. So we're going to be using it for that. But the other thing we're using it for, hi, Lainey. I hear someone yelling my name out there. The other thing we're going to be using it for this year, it goes along with our Vacation Bible School. You guys remember what we were talking about at Vacation Bible School this year? What was the name of the program? Well, that was Knights of North Castle was the whole program. What program are we using, are we raising money for? Anyone remember? For Liberia, and it's part of the Readers to Leaders program. And so the money we collect today, part of it's going to go to that, and it helps some students here in our own state, in Detroit and Flint, at the Freedom Schools that we run. And then the other part of it's going to be going to our students in Liberia that we partner with, our Liberian conference that we partner with. And we'll be sharing some of this money with them so that their students can have meals provided for them and can have school supplies and the things that often we take for granted that we just count on having available to us. So I need your guys' help, though, because I can't do this alone. I can't collect this alone. And so I need you guys to get some of these buckets here. So come on and grab a bucket or a can, whatever you want. Go ahead and grab one there.
Here you go, Liza.
Everyone get their bucket or can. Here you go, buddy. Do you want one, Lainey? Wait 1 second, Spencer. Come back, come back. You're jumping the gun on me.
Here you go, Lainey.
All right. So... And when those coins go in, I don't just want to see these all put in, guys. I want to make them work for it. I want to hear it, all right? I want to hear those coins. I want to hear them.
Well, I got a head start.
And then when you get those buckets, I want you to shake them. Make some noise as we're going through this. And during VBS, Mrs. Teller, she had done a lot of information, gave you guys a lot of information. And one of the things she did was she looked up some videos for us, right? And so we actually have one of those videos that has some of the Liberian dancers. And I could think of, whoo! We made it too heavy. We're breaking the bucket. There you go. Carry it by the bottom, bud. But she had looked up that video, so we're going to have some Liberian music playing while you guys collect those coins. So go ahead and play that for us, Heidi. And you guys, head on out. Shoot, go on down the pews. Go different ways.
Okay, we about to present the Basel dance.
Yep, go right here.
Remember, we have two counties where we have the Basel tribes. That is Riverside County. And Grand Basel County. So, ladies and gentlemen, watch up for the Basel dance.
Hey, Lane. Thank you.
job.
I'm going to have you take the package. We're going to stay right here with Flush. We're going to open it one time. You broke your bucket too? Good. I mean, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you're fine. You guys get everyone? You're looking a little heavy. How you doing? You guys looking good? All right, guys. So we got one more thing we got to do. We got to let them hear it. Let's hear it. What do we got? That sounded pretty good. That sounded real good.
The crown female dance from Grand Jeter County. Ladies and gentlemen.
So, they don't know it, but you guys gotta take it all and count all that money now, alright? You got more than $20? I'm glad to hear it. Go ahead, Heidi, I'll have you can stop that for us. You guys did a pretty good job. I think we got some money in there. Well, we're gonna see if they can match, because the VBS kids brought in over $400 during VBS week. So let's see what they got. We'll count it up and we'll see you next week, alright? So thank you guys for that. If you do want to contribute any more to those programs, we will gladly accept it in the coming weeks, of course. But let me offer this word of prayer for us as we count this blessing and we go forward from it. Dear Heavenly Father, we offer our sincere thanks for all this noise made here today, Lord. We thank you because we know that every single coin, every last one of them that was dropped into those buckets, it represents opportunity. It represents a chance for us to be a witness in your holy name. And Lord, we are so thankful. We are so blessed. We thank you for each one of these students who are here today, those who have helped us in this time. We pray your blessing on each of them as they continue to learn and grow both in knowledge and in their faith in you. And Lord, we pray for the young men and the young women, the boys and girls whose lives will be touched by this collection, by these funds that we've raised, that it will go to help them have their needs met, Lord. That it will go to help them to learn more about you. May your spirit move in their lives. May it bring hope and promise to them. May it be a reminder to us all that in all times and in all places, you are there. God, we love you just as we know you love each and every one of us. So we offer our thanks, our praise in your Son's holy name. And all of God's children said, Amen. All right, thanks, guys. Before you go, though, can you put that all up on the altar? I want to make sure the church can see what we collected here. Go ahead. Nope, right up there on the table up front. Not right now. We're going to count it later. Go ahead and take it right up there. Go for it, Spencer. Show them the way. My mama. Oh, right up here, guys, on the table. Come on up. There you go. Good job. No, you did good, Spencer. You're good. Thank you. Put those buckets up there and those cans up there. We want to see that. Good job, buddy. There you go. Got it, Liza? Push it right there. There you go. Good job. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it. And I know they got some fun planned back there for you in Odyssey, so you can head back that way, and we'll see you after service. Okay. Thanks for coming up, buddy. Thanks for your help. Thank you, Beta. That was harder work than I thought it would be. They got me sweaty up here. I got a water. I'm good. Excuse me one moment. We do count that a joy when we get to make a little noise in the Lord's house. We get to serve the Lord a little bit through our giving. We are thankful for that. But then we also do take this time each week because we believe in the power of prayer. We know the difference prayer can make in our lives and the lives of those that we pray for. So we take these times to lift before the Lord our prayers. And I just have one that I wanted to continue to share for us. It's one we've been praying for, and it is continued prayers for Linda Shenburn. I received a message from Matthew, her son, this week that unfortunately, they still haven't been able to quite kick whatever it is that's ailing her. Her temperature is still spiking, and they don't have a lot of answers at this point. He did say that they're hoping to move her back to Orchard Grove. They were hoping to do so here this weekend. I haven't received that confirmation yet, but when we do, he said thank you to this church family for all your support of his mom, of Linda. He said she loves the visits, and even though she's not able to respond a whole lot right now with her words, I've experienced it myself. When you walk in, her eyes light up when she sees a friendly face. So once she gets moved, we'll make sure you're aware of it. If anyone would like to go visit her, we'll get you that information. But please continue to keep Linda in your prayers and her family as they navigate this difficult time. But that was the only one that I had shared with me ahead of service. Of course, Nathan has the microphone here. He can bring it to you if you have a joy or concern you'd like to share. And please, and Guy has one as well. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister-in-law, Marie Ogilla Reefs. She's battling lung cancer. She's got that under control, but now she's in the hospital for the second time with extreme breathing problems. Thank you.
Prayers for her treatment as she's in the hospital. Thank you.
I'd like prayers for Jim and Judy Larimer. Jim is starting to go through chemo for his cancer, and he just goes from one bad thing to the next, and he's such a strong person, but he keeps fighting it off, so he needs our prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. Prayers for Jim and for Judy as Jim has started his radiation treatments. He'll be going through those for the next number of weeks, so we lift him up for strength during this time. Thank you.
I'm here today to give a testimony about my mother and my sisters and the situation that has gone on with my mother. She's contracted or developed dementia, and for the longest period of time we've tried to get her in somewhere, and it was futile, and nothing would happen. And then I was listening to a K-Love broadcast, and there was somebody on there who talked about trusting God and how in her career she just trusted God. She trusted him even though there was times when she didn't have any money. Things got worse for her, but she eventually just said, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. And she trusted in him, and he brought forth all this blessing on her and on her career, and she just, it was wonderful. So it was a message to me from God saying, do you trust me? I said, I'm going to trust you in this situation, Lord. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to stop striving so hard. I'm just going to trust you and let you work. And I know you're going to do something good. And within 10 days, my mother was in a place, a good place. And not only that, the Lord is always working in all of these trials and tribulations that we go through. He has brought forth a healing with my eldest sister and my mother. My eldest sister called me and told me she had a testimony about what had happened between my mother and her. She left home when she was 16 years old. It was terrible relationship-wise. It was a terrible situation. She says, Marty, now I've healed with Mom. I love her. And she was so sad that she had to leave her. And it's just been, even with my other sisters, it's been a blessing. And we just have to trust him. He just says, trust me. And I say, thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to trust you. Blessed is your holy name. Amen.
Lord, amen. Thank you, Marty, for sharing that with us. I'm glad to hear things have gone well. I know we prayed for him a few weeks back. We'll continue to keep you in our prayers. Thank you, Marty.
I'd like prayer for my daughter who lives outside of Richmond. Her name is Jerry. She suffered from leg pain for the last couple years because of a disc problem in her lower back. She has finally consented to have surgery. Her surgery is tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and I would appreciate your prayers, and I know she would too. Thank
you. Absolutely. Tomorrow at 11, Sherry going for her back surgery. We will keep her in our prayers. Thank you.
I would like to just say a quick prayer of gratitude for great neighbors and parents who helped me get to church this morning and be able to bring Kate to church to join the choir. Unfortunately, when I came out to start my car this morning, I turned it over and it went click, click, click. So just as I began to panic, my neighbor walked out the door and I said, "Do you have jumper cables?" And he said, "I can do better than that." And he put a quick start on it and fired me up and we're here. So I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely.
I have a prayer request for Sydney and I and Laura. I was asked an interesting question by a very close friend. Am I excited? And that has not been asked of me at all. It's more been distressed for a while about this move. And the answer is no, I'm not. And I know Sydney isn't, neither is Laura. So pray that we get there.
Absolutely. Our continued prayers with you as you prep for the move. We are sad to see you go. You know that, and our prayers go with you. Absolutely.
I think we should say a little prayer for the late Queen Elizabeth. With luck here or there, she could have been our queen.
Thank you, Frank. Prayers for Queen Elizabeth and her family and the nation who mourns. Thank you.
Our brother Dwayne here has suffered a lower back injury, so we want to keep him in our prayers. Beth Eisen and also Sue Rhodes.
Absolutely. We keep our church family in our prayers and their needs.
Just want to remember Bill Carroll and his wife Linda, who is his caregiver.
Absolutely. Continue prayers for the Carrolls and for Bill and his pain and dealing with his diagnosis. Thank you.
Good morning. I too am very overjoyed to for all of us to be back in the choir, even if it's a short fix. We're going to miss everybody. Miss you. I have two concerns. Our next door neighbors, Linda and Joey Sirikowski. I went to see them yesterday to take up some of my pumpkin bread, and they both have COVID. And she's already compromised. She's on oxygen all the time. And so special prayers for Linda. She went into the hospital for an infusion to help her along. Another couple, John and Sandy Gribbs, they're from KPAC. She has dementia and has a lot of seizures and has to be with someone 24/7 now. And he's been trying his best to take care of her. Meanwhile, he needs a heart valve replacement, which he has been putting off, and he'll finally have that this month on the 27th. So please keep them in your prayers.
So thank you, Linda. Prayers for neighbors and friends and their needs. We appreciate that.
Did Sorry, you have one other runny nose?
Good morning. I have a blessing. I happen to be the grandfather of Brittany Smith, so that means that I inherited Devon, which is an honor. Laura and I live in Tucson, Arizona, and we're here for two very special things this week. One was a birthday party for my twin great-grandsons yesterday, 1 year old, our first time to see them, and what a blessing. And then today there's going to be a baptism for four of my great-grandchildren. And this we are really looking forward to. So I'm so proud to have a lot of my family here right now and very pleased to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Papa. We're glad to have you with us and glad that you've been able to celebrate those blessings with us.
So this is going to take a minute. I was asked about 6 months ago to join the finance committee. And you know, things you learn, like we're struggling. And well, we're getting by because we have great, this congregation is very faithful in their giving, and we get a lot done. But having said that, a few weeks ago I had mentioned the elevator and explained a little bit about it because I think the congregation should be informed. And when we requested that people, if you'd like to donate towards the elevator, that'd be great. Just mark it in the memo. And well, within the first week, at our last finance meeting, I was curious, you know, what the response was. And Dave Beskin leans over and he says, "Hey, you know, we have $2,700 towards that elevator repair, which was $2,550." And I'm like, "Wow, that's amazing." And then Pastor said, "Actually, there's more that had come in, so it's like $3,000 within a week." One lady came in during the week and talked to Shelly, and she gave her an envelope, and it had $1,700 in it. And she said, "I want to put this towards the elevator." I mean, that's amazing, and what a blessing. So right after finance, we always have church council, and I knew it was coming. We've been talking about a water softener, and I was thinking, man, you guys, that's like about $4,500. We had someone come out and give us an estimate, and we used to have a softener years ago, but we haven't had it, and it's really taken a toll on all the fixtures and the hot water heaters we've been replacing, and not to mention the dishwashers getting very corroded, and you know what the hard water does. So I'm like, ask again, you know. But if there's anyone that would like to donate towards that, just put it in a memo, the memo, or wherever on the computer, however you give. And but good news with that too. About an hour and a half after I got home from the meeting, a church member called and said a family member of ours still has $3,500 in the memorial fund, and this person anonymously said, "I would like to donate that towards the water softener." I mean, who does that, right? I'll tell you who does that. The people at the United Methodist Church do that.
Amen.
And so if you want, we can do that. If it goes over, we'll just use the extra for salt, which we're going to have to need. And I'll be glad to keep that full. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you for that reminder. I think you're right. We can't address the needs if we don't know what they are. So I thank you for your leadership on trustees and finance. Excuse me. This is a faithful bunch. We are faithful in prayer. We are faithful in giving. We are faithful in our service. And I am so thankful for that. And we've heard some of the needs and joys that have been lifted here today. And I just want to invite us, as always, to take this moment, to spend a moment with God in this silence, to lift our prayers, our needs to Him in this moment of silent prayer. Jesus, we call you our Lord. Yet it's far too easy for us to find time to worship other things, other activities and relationships, other gods. Lord, you tell us we cannot serve two masters. Yet still we find that we spend time focusing our energies elsewhere, diverting our time, our money, our attention away from you. Forgive us, gracious Savior, when our hearts are led astray, when we serve other gods and worship them. As we take this time to pray, help us to turn away from our distractions and our sin. Strengthen us to set our faces toward Jerusalem, to take up our cross and follow you. Lord, even as we pray for our own needs and strength, we acknowledge that there are so many other needs in our world, many of which were heard here today. For those that have been lifted, we pray. For our church and its missions and its ministries, we pray. For our neighbors and community, we pray. For our leaders at the local, the state, the federal levels, we pray. For our world, for its people, and for all of your beautiful creation, we pray. And Lord, as we lift these prayers to you, we know you are already at work. Your Spirit is moving. Wherever two or three are gathered, so you are there. We know you are here. And Lord, we know that you not only hear our prayers, but you respond. Lord, we pray all this, counting on your grace, counting on your love, as we pray this prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you all to stand with me again as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 354, I Surrender All. We'll be singing hymn number 354. You may please be seated. I think we've already heard of how much I appreciate this congregation this morning, the faithfulness of so many out there that allow us to be in mission and ministry. Part of the example of that is on the altar right before me in those buckets. Those coins collected, those students that we're going to be able to touch and change their lives through our giving. I am thankful for that and so many other missions and ministries, for the people who show up when there is a need. I'm thankful. And I offer my sincere thanks, and I remind you, we do have our offering box on the organ, as we have been. We also have our online giving at romeoumc.com. You can use the Give Now link there. Thank you for your commitment to our church. Thank you for your commitment to Jesus Christ and spreading his word. We've done good work, and guess what? There is more good work to be done. And I'm thankful for that. And let us offer this word of prayer and thanks for this collection. Holy giver of all good blessings, we find ourselves under a debt we can never overcome. Every blessing we've received or hope received comes from your generosity. The gifts we bring to you this morning, they pale in comparison to the bottom line of our ledgers. Yet you manage your kingdom on a different model, one where the equity is grace, forgiveness, compassion, mercy, and justice. You encourage us to be shrewd in the world's money, knowing it is not the currency that matters in the end. And so we pray in the name of Jesus, whose life and death paid our debt, we pray today with thanks, with hope, with promise for the future. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning is coming to us again from Luke's Gospel. It's Luke chapter 16, and we'll hear verses 1 through 13, the parable of the dishonest manager. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, seeing as we had the students and youth and the children in here helping us out this morning, celebrate and collect that offering, I thought it was only fitting to share this story that I came across this week. In the story, the mother of this young child, she'd become quite concerned with her young daughter's lack of understanding about how money worked, her lack of appreciation for money. This little girl, she was constantly asking for more and more and more things. at the store, down the grocery store aisle, when the commercials came on the TV. Whenever she had the opportunity, this little girl, she wanted more and more things. She had little value or concern or understanding for what money really was, the value of money. So hoping to teach her young daughter a lesson as they were preparing for church that morning, that mother reached into her wallet and she pulled out a dollar bill and one quarter. And she gave both of them to the little girl and she told her, "This morning you can choose and put whichever of these two you want into the offering plate when it comes by. The other one you can keep." The little girl took those and tucked them into her pocket. And the service came and went. And as they were leaving church, the mother asked her daughter, "So, dear, which one did you put in the plate? Which one did you keep?" "Well," said the little girl, "I was going to give the dollar because it seemed like the right thing to do, to give the dollar to the church. But then, just before they brought the collection plates around, that man up front, he said, 'God loves a cheerful giver.' And I thought about that for a second. And I realized I'd be a lot more cheerful if I had the dollar rather than the quarter. So that's what I did. Hey, Mom, can we stop by the candy store on the way home?" I don't think that little girl quite got the lesson. It didn't quite go to the plan like the mother had hoped. But then as I read that story, I was preparing, I found myself wondering if sometimes our Heavenly Father, sometimes Jesus himself, sometimes those lessons he taught didn't quite go to plan, weren't quite received and heard as Jesus intended. Do we, like that little girl, sometimes just not get it? Do we sometimes choose, like that little girl, do we decide that we'll be a lot more cheerful if we first take care of our own needs, take care of our own wants and desires? Do we put ourselves first? Do we sometimes just miss the point, miss the lesson that Jesus was teaching? This morning we're continuing our Having Words with Jesus worship series. We started this a few weeks back, and over these weeks we've learned that these words we're having with Jesus aren't particularly easy conversations. There's some hard lessons that Jesus taught. If you've paid real close attention, you may have noticed we haven't gone real far in our Bibles. We haven't turned too many pages, actually, as we've been looking at these lessons. 3 weeks ago, we started in the 14th chapter of Luke. We had Jesus teaching us about counting the cost, about acknowledging what it means to follow, what it costs to truly be a disciple of Christ. And last week, we were in the 15th chapter of Luke, hearing a lesson about how God views the lost and the broken in our world. We were reminded of the lengths that God will go to search out, to find those who have strayed, those who are lost, how they will be welcomed back home. And then that brings us to today's words with Jesus, found in the 16th chapter of Luke. We've only covered three chapters in these 3 weeks, but these chapters have brought some powerful lessons, some powerful imagery to teach us about God's heart, God's will for our world. And I thought the last 2 weeks had brought some challenging messages to us, brought about some hard conversations, some things for us to think about and reflect on. But then I read this week's chapter. And if I thought those last 2 weeks were difficult conversations, well, as I read this one, I felt like it blew right on past the difficult delineator, and it came into the, "What in the world are you trying to tell me, Jesus?" That's where I felt as I read these words. Even John Calvin, a man who held the scriptures in the most high regard, he once wrote about this passage. He described this text as hard and far-fetched. How am I supposed to teach this scripture? That's what John Calvin had to say about this text. And I think what's most difficult about it is, in looking at it, in reading it, is understanding just what exactly is taking place in this parable. What is Jesus hoping we'll learn? As I read it, it's titled The Parable of the Dishonest Manager. That's how our NRSV translation reads. But if you go looking, other translations have this as The Parable of the Shrewd Manager, or The Parable of the Unjust Steward, or even one titles it The Parable of the Wicked Servant. Right off the bat, that description, that title, it would seem that the individual we're about to read about, the man we're about to learn about, is not going to be the most upstanding of people. He might be a little unsavory, a little rough around the edges. That's what that title would lend us to believe. And as the story begins, maybe some of those assumptions seem correct. We're told this man's been in charge of a rich man's affairs. He's in charge of his money, his estate. But then we're also told he's done a poor job of managing that estate. He squandered his master's money and his property. And when the rich man finds out about this, he calls him before him. He wants to know, what have you been doing? Ultimately, he's relieved of his position. He no longer has a job working for that rich man. We're told the thought of the unemployment line is too much for this individual. He knows he's too old to go and dig holes. He's too proud to beg. So he has to think quickly on his feet. So he starts summoning his master's debtors one by one to come before him. And as they come before him, he's really rather generous to them, isn't he? He reduced one of their debts by half, told them to pay half of what he owed. The next he told to take 20% off that bill and pay the rest. And those debtors, they were more than happy to have some relief from what they owed, but they didn't really realize the manager's true intention in that moment. His hope, his plan, was that those individuals he was showing this kindness to, those people he was being generous to, that they would remember those actions. Because remember, he was about to be out of a job. He was going to have no way to provide for himself. His hope was that in turn, his kindness would be remembered by them, and they would invite him into their homes. They would help him get back on his feet, provide for his needs in the end. And that's where those various titles come into play. Was he a dishonest manager with his actions? A shrewd one? Was he unjust? Or was he even a wicked manager? Each of us might have our own thoughts on that. That's fair. But for me, what makes this text ultimately more confusing, ultimately more difficult to understand, is what Jesus then throws at us in verse 8. And go ahead and put that up there for me, Heidi. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. The master commended the dishonest manager. Am I reading that right? Does my translation have something wrong? This rich man is commending his servant for acting shrewdly, for getting him less than what he was owed. The master, by my reading, he got 50% less from one, 20% less from another, but he's commending his servant. Wasn't he being cheated in this whole deal? That's how I read it, multiple times through, trying to glean what I was missing in this text. It had me thinking, well, maybe this is why. These are some difficult words from Jesus. It's difficult for us to understand that master's choices. But then as I read and kept reading, read into some of those commentaries, I dug a little deeper. My understanding changed a little bit. One individual in particular, her name's Barbara Rossing. She had a unique look at this in her commentary. She suggested that the master, the rich man in this story, that he wasn't cheated at all. At least that's what she believes. She believes that he likely would have received all the goods and all the money that he was owed, that was due to him. Because her belief, or her reasoning, was that the manager, that he likely reduced those debts, he knocked off what would have been his percentage. What would have been owed to the manager, not to the rich man, not to the owner of all this. It would have been his percentage that he knocked off of those debtors. He was reducing the payments by his own cut of the profits. He knew he was out of a job, and he was convinced that having that goodwill among those other people was much more important than having the money in the moment. The master received what was due to him, but perhaps the manager received something even more important in his dealings. As I read her words, it really reframed that whole parable, doesn't it? It changes how we look at that manager. Suddenly, this man who was introduced as being pretty bad at his job, bad enough that he was about to be fired, he doesn't seem quite so bad. And perhaps that's why Jesus is lifting up this individual before the crowds as he's teaching. This man who's seemingly guilty of some unscrupulous dealings, Jesus is lifting him up as a role model for how we should behave in God's kingdom. one of the other blogs I follow, the Reverend Rob McCoy, he suggests that perhaps the level of confusion that this parable stirs, perhaps it's evidence of just how remarkably important this story really is. This one blows our minds in some way, because it seems to go against all of our common understanding of fairness and what is right. But maybe that's the point. Maybe that is it. Maybe that's why these are some hard words from Jesus. Because maybe at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with fairness. Maybe the kingdom of God doesn't have a lot to do with fairness. Perhaps in God's kingdom, it has little to do with keeping the proper ledgers and making sure everyone gets their due. Perhaps the kingdom of God is about something more, as we see in this parable. It's about relationships. It's about relationships between God and God's people. It's about relationships amongst God's people here on earth. It's about reconciliation. It's about forgiving our debts, our trespasses, even as we forgive our debtors, those who have trespassed against us. It seems like we've heard that in a prayer somewhere a time or two before. Perhaps this is not an easy parable for us to hear. Perhaps it's an even harder lesson for us to learn. I went to business school. I got a degree from Grand Valley State in business management. And I'll tell you, not one of my professors would have taught this in any of those classes. It doesn't make good business sense. No economist is going to go use this as a starting point for any economic theory in our world. Maybe, perhaps, Jesus doesn't really care. Because Jesus has a funny way of not making sense. At least not making sense in the eyes of the world, in our ways. After all, if we really get down to it, it doesn't make sense to plant a weed in the middle of the garden, does it? It doesn't make sense to ruin a whole vat of flour with some leaven. It doesn't make sense to turn your other cheek when you've been struck. It doesn't make sense to go 2 miles when someone's already forced you to go one. To throw a party for people that can't invite you to come to a party of their own. To leave behind a flock to find that one sheep that strayed. Or to throw a party for that good-for-nothing son who comes crawling back home after squandering his share of the estate. None of those things make sense in the eyes of the world. But my friends, Jesus taught each one of those things. Jesus is still trying to teach us those lessons today. And while those things I listed, they may not make a whole lot of sense. You know what else doesn't make sense either when I really think about it? It doesn't make sense that God would come to earth and take on human form. It doesn't make sense that God would claim me, as his own. That God would invite all of us to the table of grace and forgiveness. None of it makes sense when we really think about it. It doesn't make sense that Jesus would come to save a people who would nail him to the cross. It doesn't make sense that the tomb was empty 3 days later. It doesn't make sense that for centuries, the followers, the believers in Jesus Christ have gathered. And we still experience that presence. We feel it move in our congregations. We feel it move when we gather. We feel it move when we're at the bedside. We know God's presence is real. It doesn't have to make sense. And if all of this doesn't make sense to you, please know that you're in good company. It doesn't make sense to me why God called me to this pulpit, but I can't keep my emotions in check. Why'd you do this to me, God? It doesn't make sense sometimes. But these are called the difficult words of Jesus for a reason. We are supposed to look at these texts and wonder and question and wrestle with our God. People have been doing it for centuries. We're not going to figure it all out in one fell swoop reading through the Bible. I'm not going to figure it out reading every commentary I can get my hands on. We're not going to figure it all out. But we are not the only people who've ever wondered and wrestled with this thing we call faith. But yet, we are still called to be faithful. This week, I saw this strange little parable described as a doozy. I think that's a perfect description for it. It's one of those texts that, I'll be honest, when it comes up in the lectionary, I'd just as soon skip over it. It'd be an easier one to skip past than to preach on. But that's because these words are a challenge. It's a challenge to look at what canceling a debt really looks like. It's a challenge for each of us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ has already canceled the greatest debt that any one of us could ever carry. Christ already paid that price, the debt of our sin, the punishment of which we were told should be death. And Christ didn't cancel 20% of my debt. He didn't cancel 50% of your debt. Jesus Christ paid for it all. He paid the price. The debt is paid. The ledger is clear. And guess what? The reward is ours. That's the love of Jesus Christ. This text is a challenge to take a closer look at how each of us might choose to serve wealth over God, how we might choose money over people and relationships. It's a challenge to look at how we spend our money, how we save our money, how we give our money, and how we treat others. It is a challenge to us. And at the end of the day, maybe that's the lesson we're supposed to learn, that being faithful is a challenge. Because you see, I ended with verse 13 here this morning. That was where I cut it off originally for my reading. I thought for our purposes it wrapped up this lesson neatly, wrapped it up for me as I was completing it. But then as I glanced one more time at the scriptures, I think it's the very next verse that really needs to be touched on. Can you go ahead and put that up there for me, Heidi? This is verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. They ridiculed Jesus. Remember, these Pharisees, these scribes, they've been with Jesus for each of these stories, for each of these weeks we've spent these last 3 weeks. They've heard these same teachings. They've been tagging along. They wanted to see what this Jesus fellow was all about. They've heard the parables. They've heard the lessons. Yet here again, we see their response. They continue to ridicule Jesus. They continue to snicker and point fingers behind his back. They even say it to his face. They question his actions. They question his choices, his lessons. They question the people he's choosing to associate with and build relationships with. As I thought about this, I realized those Pharisees in this moment and that scene that Jesus, as we see, playing out, they are a visual, physical, real-world example of the very thing Christ was trying to teach those who would listen. They're standing right there as an example for Christ to teach with. He's trying to tell the people, you cannot serve God and serve wealth. Those rich and powerful men, even as they're standing in the literal presence of God, they can't get past what's truly important to them. They can't let go of that which they value, their money, their power, their status. We can label the manager in this parable with any of those names I listed before, dishonest, shrewd, unjust, wicked. We can label him however we want, whatever we want to think of him. We can name him because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we think. Jesus has already told us what he thinks, what he chooses. Jesus has chosen relationships over earthly treasures. Jesus has chosen forgiveness over persecution. Jesus has chosen hope over despair. Jesus has chosen love over hate. And we like the Pharisees and the scribes, like the sinners and tax collectors and disciples who were gathered round as he taught these lessons, we all have the opportunity to make the same choice. We are called, we are challenged to make our choice. You cannot serve God and wealth. Jesus tells us it won't be easy. He's not trying to sugarcoat it here. but he also tells us how best we can proceed. Take the small step first, he says. Learn to be faithful in the small things. Do the little things that you're capable of doing. The daily things, the quickly forgotten, passed-by things. Do those things first. Learn to be faithful in doing the little things. But then he tells us, when the big things come, the true riches, relationships, and family, and hope, and joy, and justice, and peace, when the big things come, they too will be yours. Those with who are trusted little will be trusted much. My friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your debts are paid. Your sins are forgiven. All thanks and glory be to God now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand for our last song if you're able.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, now I need you. When sins run deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in thee. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, now I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, now I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. one defends my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Friends, let our worship continue even as we leave this moment. As we have gathered in joy to sing and pray and hear God's word, let us go forward into the world that needs that same joy. Let us go forth with joy as we go with God's blessing, and let us be a blessing to others. Amen.